Okay, we'd like to welcome you out this afternoon and call to order this meeting of the Mesa City Council. It's wonderful. We have an overflow crowd that's with us, and it's an exciting night, a lot of positive things happening, and we're looking forward to getting that feedback in. We're going to go ahead and start by having an invocation by Mr. Todd Carling, who is called on at the last minute to do that, so we would welcome him up. Following Mr. Carling, we'll have a Pledge of Allegiance by one of those wonderful scouts, Cedric Beckford. And so, Cedric, after you see the invocation that's over, we'll have you come up and lead us in the pledge. Let's go ahead and everybody stand, please.
Our dearest Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can meet here this evening as members of or citizens of Mesa and with the City Council to discuss the needs and the issues of our city. We ask thee to bless us that we might be able to be cordial to each other and to understand the needs on both sides. And we're indeed grateful for the country and the state that we live in. And the freedoms that are given to us, help us that we may preserve these freedoms and do those things that will help our rights and our protection of our families and in our community. And we humbly ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
May you please rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Cedric. Thank you, Todd. We appreciate it on last-minute notice. Very good. Tonight we have the opportunity to swear in a wonderful council member, Terry Benelli. And so we would like to invite up her family to come join us up here. And Council Member Benelli, if you'll head down there. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Terry Benelli.
I, Terry Benelli.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Arizona.
And the Constitution and laws of the State of Arizona.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
And defend them against all enemies.
And defend them against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
Discharge the duties.
Discharge the duties.
Of the office of Council Member District 2.
Of the office of Council Member District 2.
Of the City of Mesa, Arizona.
Of the City of Mesa, Arizona.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, that was a privilege for me. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to do that. We're excited to have Councilmember Benelli with us. Maybe you'd like to take just a moment to recognize who's with you tonight and supporting you in this great move.
Sure. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the mayor and council.
Oh, what did I do wrong already?
There you go. You got it.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the mayor and council for allowing me to be a part of this team. I'm excited to get working with you guys, and I'm happy that you chose me out of the list of candidates to be a part of what happens here in Mesa. I want to introduce you to my husband, Dino, and my son, Matthew. They're sitting in the front row, my aunt and uncle, Deb and Mike. And behind them are my mom and dad, John and Emmy Davis, and my brother and his wife, John Davis, also, and Nicole. Thanks for coming. Everybody, thanks for coming. The guests that came for the swearing in, if you want to go over to Inside the Bungalow, that's where we're having a little reception, and I will be there when after we get done conducting business. You can stay if you want.
Very okay, nice.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Councilmember. We appreciate that. Very nice. Thank you. The next item on our agenda is awards and recognitions. And we would like to start off first with Vice Mayor Christopher Glover.
Thank you, Mayor. In February, I had the opportunity to work with the Idea Museum to create Mesa's Big Idea Drawing Contest, where we partnered with Mesa Public Schools and all the charter schools in Mesa, where children had the opportunity to draw their favorite thing in Mesa or a picture that they absolutely loved. We had almost 500 drawings submitted, and which is an incredible number since it's the first time that we did this. And looking at the 500 entries, we chose 11 honorable mentions and 4 grand prize winners. Tonight, I want to honor the 4 grand prize winners. In addition to being recognized tonight, they'll also receive a $50 gift card and a 1-year family membership to the Idea Museum. Before I recognize the winners, I would like to first thank Sonny O'Rourke and Jeffrey Morris from the Idea Museum for their hard work and dedication to make this project come to fruition. The winners, when you're announced, if you'll please come up to the podium. Our winners are Ashton Woodson from Highland Elementary School. Dakota Gorman from Entz Elementary School. Galina Jerez from Washington Elementary School. And Olivia Dayton from Zaharis Elementary School. I want to thank everybody who helped, who entered this contest, our 11 honorable mentions, our 4 grand prize winners. And we'll come down, Mayor Finter and myself will come down and take a picture and give you your prize. I also want to thank Randy Poliker and Andrew Calhoun for their hard work for this project. So let's take some pictures.
All those pictures taken? We all good?
One more?
There we go. Wonderful. Thank you guys. We appreciate it. Good job.
The next item is to an Eagle Scout recognition of Ben Carling by Vice Mayor Christopher Glover. With our Christine Zalanka from our Development and Sustainability. We'd like to have her come up.
Yeah. I'll say a few words before Christine joins us up there with Ben. Ben is a remarkable young man, and his project is truly a legacy project that helped Heritage Academy. And so I want to invite Christine Zalanka to come up along with Ben so they can talk a little bit more about what he was able to accomplish.
Good
Good evening, Mayor and Vice Mayor and Council. It's really my pleasure and my honor to introduce Ben Carling. We lovingly refer to him as Eagle Scout Ben. He came to us probably about a year ago, at least. He was about this tall when he came. And we first met with him in Councilmember Glover's office. He goes to Heritage Academy, and they have quite an active sports program, but they didn't have a practice field. So Ben took it upon himself to get everybody in the world, in the city, and contractors to volunteer their time and to help him. I'm pretty sure that all of the department directors will be working for this young man one day. He would have us all in the room and share with us what he wanted to do. Dad was there only for his pen. Dad never said anything. Ben always took the lead. He got actually Kiewit to donate installing a water meter for him in the road adjacent to Heritage Academy in the backside where he did the work. We had water resources. We had transportation department. I don't think he came to one of us and we didn't say, what in the world can we possibly do for you? Ben also is just a tremendous example, I think, to the younger generation. He apparently doesn't do computer games. He volunteers his service to the community. He's really a phenomenal example, and we've just really enjoyed working with him. The yard or the sports field looks great over there. He even knew what kind of fertilizer to put on it to green it up after it was a little yellow. He had over 100 volunteers there when they put the turf down. So just a wonderful example of what can be accomplished by somebody with just really a great heart and an amazing ability to direct all of the rest of us.
Wonderful. Okay, the next item on our agenda on the awards portion is to have a presentation by Chief Harry Beck in the Mesa Fire Medical Department for a citizen recognition of a life-saving act. Chief Beck.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council, members of the community. It's my privilege tonight to recognize one of our amazing citizens, and Mr. John Smith. John, if you would come down here with me, please. Hi, John.
How are you, sir?
Good to see you. On March 23rd, John provided immediate patient care to Michael Palencia. Michael's with us today and doing well. Raise your hand, Michael. Mm-hmm. Thanks to John. Michael suffered severe injuries resulting from being struck by a car. John applied pressure to the femoral artery and used a belt as a tourniquet until Mesa Fire Medical Department firefighter and paramedics arrived on the scene. It is a selfless act of those such as John to act and engage that makes the partnership between our community and our firefighter paramedics a successful one. The complement of our life safety education efforts, emergency response model, and our active and compassionate citizenry are amongst the many traits that make Mesa a great place to live and work. And John, from being a firefighter for so many years myself, I know the level of courage it took for you to stand up and address that serious situation that day. And for that, thank you very, very much. And I'd like to present you with this certificate of our appreciation, as well as some pictures with the mayor and the vice mayor.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
turn, yeah, come right up here and we'll kind of gather around you there.
Here, Kevin.
All good? Wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's good to have you with us. Okay.
Okay. The next item on the awards portion is a proclamation. We have, General Aviation Appreciation Month, and we have a proclamation here out of the mayor's office, and we'd like to turn just a moment over to Councilmember Summers to let us know about this.
Thank you, Mayor. There should be no doubt that one of the strongest benefits in this community from a perspective of economic development is the climate we have and the aviation that it supports. That aviation through two airports has been an integral part of this community since before World War II. It played an important role in defense of this nation during World War II and many times since. Falcon Field and now Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport have evolved over the past 60 or 70 years to become a tremendous part of economic development and job growth. Falcon Field itself has produced $1.2 billion in economic opportunity for our community, and Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport recently just topped $1.3 billion in economic activity. Thousands of jobs are produced because of the two airports that this community is lucky enough to have. In fact, there are some 77 significant aviation-related companies located in the state of Arizona, many of which are located here in the Mesa area. 8,800 people are employed in aviation-related businesses because of the airports that we have and the airports throughout this state. I thought it would be an important gesture for this council, now that we have some new members, to make a statement about how important aviation is to this city, to this state, and to the people who call Mesa home. Mayor?
Wonderful.
Thank Would you like much. To read it? Or
I think we'll just start with the first part, and we realize people are busy here. But the proclamation, General Aviation, and we'll just leave it at that. It's quite lengthy, but we're glad to have the proclamation and let everybody know, as Councilmember Summers has said, that great supporter, and we'll spare you the reading through. So
you want to do the now, therefore, I?
Now, therefore, I, Alex Venter, by virtue of the authority vested in me as mayor of Mesa, Arizona, I do hereby proclaim June 14th as General Aviation Appreciation Month. So, thank you. We appreciate your patience. We have obviously a packed crowd and lots going on. The next portion of this council meeting will be reading our consent agenda. For those of you that would not like to stay for this thrilling portion of the meeting, you're welcome to go, and maybe we'll take just a moment to let folks file out. So thank you for attending with us. Looks like people are making their way out. We'd like to invite up Randy Poliker. He'll be reading our consent agenda in just a moment, as soon as everybody's had a chance to clear.
Boy, nobody can clear a room like me. Look at that.
I know.
I was going to do a whole stand-up act, but not now.
Good. Give it just one more moment, if you would, please. Okay.
Bring some water with
Randy?
You're going to need it.
There you go.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you are interested in speaking, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license application for Arizona Knights of Columbus Charity, Inc., two-day fraternal event, Friday, July 11th and Saturday, July 12th at 1730 West Guadalupe Road. Item 3B, act on liquor license application for Broadway Liquors, 405 East Broadway Road. Item 3C, act on liquor license application for Circle K, 415 North Stapley Drive. Item 3D, act on liquor license application for Melindo, Mexico, 103 West 8th Avenue. Item 3E, act on liquor license application for O'Neill's Place, 2855 North Power Road, Suite 101. Item 4A, act on three-year term contract for heavy-duty OEM cab chassis parts for the Fleet Services Department. Item 4B, act on one-year renewal of term contract for graffiti abatement services for the Transportation Department. Item 4C, act on one-year renewal of term contract for reflectorized sign sheeting for the Transportation Department. Item 4D, act on contract for purchase of replacement uninterruptible power supply devices and related web management cards for the Information Technology Department. Item 4E, act on one-year renewal of term contract for emergency pump rental for the Transportation Department. Item 4F, act on contract for purchase of taser training cartridges and two replacement stimulation suits for the Police Department. Item 4G, act on contract for purchase of 300 on-officer cameras and data storage plan for a term of 5 years. Item 4H, act on contract for purchase to refurbish and upgrade one bomb robot for the police department. This purchase is funded by asset forfeiture RICO funds. Item 4I, act on contract for purchase of replacement modular furniture for the information technology building for the information technology department. Item 4J, act on contract for installation of Broadway Road wastewater line replacement between Horn and Williams. Item 5A, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into an amended and restated intergovernmental agreement with the Regional Public Transportation Authority for fixed bus, dial-a-ride, and ride-choice transit services. Item 5B, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the Regional Public Transportation Authority for operations and maintenance of certain elements of the Arizona Avenue, Country Club, and Main Street Link Bus route stations. Item 5C, act on resolution ordering the sale of general obligation bonds, Series 2014, and authorizing the reimbursement with bond proceeds of certain advances on construction projects. Item 5D, act on resolution ordering the sale of utility systems revenue bonds, Series 2014, and authorizing the reimbursement with bond proceeds of certain advances on construction projects. Item 6A, introduction of ordinance modifying rates for electrical utility services. Item 6B, introduction of ordinance modifying rates for natural gas utility services. Item 6C, introduction of ordinance modifying rates for water utility services. Item 6D, introduction of ordinance modifying the City Code Title 5, Chapter 13, regarding the residential solid waste development tax. Item 6E, introduction of ordinance modifying rates for wastewater utility services as amended at the study session. Item 6F, introduction of ordinance modifying rates for solid waste utility services. Item 6G, introduction of ordinance modifying rates, fees, and charges for utility service fees. Item 6H, introduction of ordinance modifying the terms and conditions for the sale of utilities related to customer account maintenance, credit, and refund policies, certain clerical corrections, and clarifying verbiage. Item 6I, introduction of ordinance regarding A14-04, annexing 5.8 acres of land located east of the northeast corner of Alma School and McClellan Roads. This annexation is initiated by the property owners. Item 6J, introduction of ordinance regarding Z14-005, 5656 East Albany Street, located north and east of North 56th Street and East Main Street. Rezoned from Maricopa County to City of Mesa, this request will establish City of Mesa zoning on previously annexed property.
Randy, if I can stop you there for a minute. So this would be the item, if you're here about the Dreamland project, this would be the time to get a blue card and submit that. I'm not trying to encourage it, but I just want you to know that this would be the time for that particular item.
You do know it's just an introduction.
And it is just for introduction, and maybe that's why we have no blue cards yet. But just wanted to make sure it wasn't missed by any folks. Okay, feel free to keep going.
Item 6K, introduction of ordinance regarding Z14-006, 5656 East Albany Street, located north and east of North 56th Street and East Main Street, rezoned to allow the development of a single residence subdivision. Item 7A, act on ordinance regarding Z14-020, 1010 South Crisman Road, rezone and site plan review to allow the development of a medical office building. Item 7B, act on ordinance regarding Z14-014, the 3600 to 5200 blocks of South Ellsworth Road, the 9200 to 10,800 blocks of East Elliott Road, and the 3600 to 6000 blocks of the South Signal Butte Road alignment. This request will allow the Campus Regional Center Land Use Group in Development Unit 5. Item 7C, act on ordinance regarding Z14-018, 7515 South Atwood, site plan review to allow the development of an industrial warehouse. Item 7D, act on ordinance regarding Z14-019, 824 West Broadway Road, northwest corner of Broadway Road and Extension Road. Site plan review and council use permit for a large collection facility, allowing the development of a contractor's yard for the storage of building and recycling materials. Item 7E, act on ordinance regarding Z14-021, the 8200 to 8600 blocks of East Baseline Road, rezoned to allow the development of a mixed-use community. Item 7F, act on ordinance regarding Z14-022, 602 South Edgewater Drive, rezoned to establish a historic landmark overlay. Item 7G, act on ordinance modifying utility rates, fees, and charges by adopting an incentive program for Mesa Utility electronic bill delivery and SurePay automatic bank draft payments. Item 8A, act on subdivision plat, Sunland Springs Village Unit 7, Phase 4, the 11,500 block of East Guadalupe Road. Item 8B, act on subdivision plat, Sunland Springs Village Unit 8, the 2800 block of South Springwood Boulevard. Item 9A, act on the adoption of the tentative proposed fiscal year 2014-15 budget plan. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Randy. Is there any item that a council member would like to remove from the agenda? If not, Ms. Mickelson, do we have any items that were read in that need to be removed with any blue cards, any requests?
No additional requests.
Okay, thank you. Looks like we have a motion by Councilmember Cavanaugh and a second by Councilmember Summers. If there's no further comment by anybody, go ahead and vote. Okay, we have seven ayes. Consent agenda passes. Thank you. Okay. The next item is the items that were not on the consent agenda. And it looks like our first item will be to conduct a public hearing on, we'll start with item 10B, and that is GP Minor 1405, District 5, the 5,000 block to 5,200 block of East Brown Road, located on the northwest corner of Brown and Higley Road. Is that right? 5+ acres? Okay. Minor general plan amendment to adjust the boundaries of an existing 2025 general plan land use designation from NC to MDR 4 to 6 units. This request will allow the development of a single family residential subdivision. Council members, do we have any individuals that want to speak?
No request, Mayor.
Okay, so we do have a blue card here. It looks like for 10A and 10C, which looks like that won't be this item then. Looks like it's going to be 10C will be the next item on that. So we have nothing, no blue cards on that item. Thank you. And council members, do you have any requests to speak or have any information on this public hearing portion? Nothing? Okay, I'll declare the public hearing portion closed for this item. Okay, that was a public hearing. Our next item is 10C. Just wanted to make sure, did we have some information that I'm missing?
But Mayor, 10A is the public hearing. 10B is to take action on the resolution regarding the minor general plan amendment.
Thank you. 10A was the public hearing. So 10B, as I've read it, the 5,000 block to 5,200 block of East Brown Road, the same item I just read in. So we have a staff recommendation of adoption with a Planning and Zoning Board recommendation of adoption. And so, oh, thank you. We did have, there's a small letter on here that says 10B. Karen Broughton? Yes, Karen Broughton. We have an indication that you'd like to speak on 10B also?
No, just C. 10C.
Okay, we were trying to decipher through there, so forgive us. Wonderful. Then we'll keep you, we'll be ready for you on 10C. So, again, P&Z recommendation was a 7-0 in favor of that. So, if there's no other information from the council on this portion, then looks like we have a motion by Councilmember Kavanaugh, second by Councilmember Benelli. If there's no other questions or comments, we'll go ahead and vote. It passes with 7 ayes. And that was 10B. Thank you for the clarity. So we're moving now to 10C. Wonderful. And 10C is Z14-016 in District 5, the 5,000 block to 5,200 block of East Brown Road, North Side, located at the northwest corner of Brown and Higley, 76.6 acres, rezoned from AG to RSL 4.5 PAD on 43.65 acres, and rezoned from AG RSL 2.5 on 33 acres. This request will allow the development of single residential subdivision, and the staff recommendation is approval with conditions, and the P&Z board recommendation was approval with conditions on a 7-0. Okay, we do have blue cards for this item. This would be 10C. Our first person to speak would be Karen. Please come up. You're marked as opposed, and if you'll share with us your address, and you'll have 3 minutes. Look forward to hearing from you.
Okay. Good evening, Mayor Fincher, council members. I'm Karen Broughton. I spoke to you at the last council meeting. I live at 5505 East McClellan in the Alta Mesa townhomes. I now reside in Alta Mesa, and have lived in the Brown Road corridor since 1974. I spoke to you at the April meeting about the proposed Higley and Brown KB Homes plan. The following week, I was able to contact Mr. Sheffield in the Planning and Zoning Department. Mr. Wesley was out for the week. My conversation with Mr. Sheffield was followed by an email from him and a response from me, including a request for him to forward both emails on to all of you. I assume all of you received that. Okay. All I can do now is reiterate that our request is to allow this project to be put on hold until Mesa is a fully elected council and mayor. This project will be standing when most of us are gone. Please do not allow haste to color your thinking. Every neighbor we share this proposed project with is not only surprised to hear about it, but is definitely against the concept. We don't understand the density. A cookie-cutter design without driveways on one half of the sites and no front of residence parking does not fit the Brown Road neighborhoods. Please postpone this decision until November. We beg of you. Everywhere we go, we hear negative. Go to a big party over the weekend, 300 people, move around. Everybody that's hearing about it is just, they don't like it. So, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments. Next person that would like to speak, they look to be opposed, would be Shara Monkey? Monk? I'm sorry. Forgive me, I'm terrible on pronunciation on these. Please come up, let us know where you live, and you'll have 3 minutes. I appreciate hearing from you.
My name is Shara Monick, and I live at 4963 East Hobart Street, and it's in the Mira Mesa community. My backyard faces the property. The reason why I'm here today is that I'm opposed to the West Side Street connection at McClellan Road. I feel that it will greatly impact the traffic through my area of my neighborhood, With only having one street connection at McClellan Road, I can see the neighborhood using McClellan Road to access Greenfield to get to that shopping center where Walmart is located. I understand the desire for the vehicular connection to the Barbara Bush Elementary School, but the new residents will have ability to get to the front of that school from east in Graham Street off of Higley Road. I'm concerned about the safety of the children in my neighborhood. I have a small child myself. A lot of the existing residents now have they have children that play in their front yards on that McClellan Road. And then I also see children walking to and from school every day. If McClellan Road must remain a through connection to the new neighborhood, I'm requesting that Princess Drive and Gary Street also become through streets into the new neighborhood. It will alleviate some of the traffic on McClellan Road. My home is going to be backed up against the property. There's going to be a road behind my house that leaves onto McClellan Road. I feel that if Gary and Princess Drive are made through streets, that it will alleviate the traffic on that street behind my home. And that's about it.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you. We appreciate your information. Okay. Okay. We next have Robbie Hopewood. Sorry. Robbie, if you'll come up. It doesn't indicate support or opposed. You have 3 minutes. Feel free to let us know where you live.
And thank you. Yes. My name is Robbie Hopwood. I live at 4865 East McClellan Road. And I neither support or oppose it. I'm concerned about a safety issue. I am four homes from the school, and I've lived there for 18 years. I've worked out of my house for 13 of those 18 years. I can hear the cars racing down my street to try to find a way to get through to Higley. And then I hear them racing back, and I go out to the street to watch, and I can see the same cars. Somebody wants to find a way through to Higley, and they will if you put that car access in the northwest corner of the KB Home development. Because the furthest north road, east to west, in phase two, is just from that gate. You go over and you go out right onto Higley. And I can guarantee you within a week they will find that shortcut. And these homes have 3 to 6 bedrooms, which translates to a lot of children. There will be somebody hurt. There will be somebody probably killed, unfortunately, because these people want a shortcut to get to Higley. My suggestion is, I would love to see it as just a pedestrian access. If that's not the case, the first map that you had, that northern east-west road in phase two, did not connect to that gate. It stopped. So the people coming in from McClellan had to go south and then wind their way around if they wanted to get out to Higley. Now, either one of those would work better. Best would be just to have it a pedestrian gate. And I can understand they want to get to Barbara Bush School, but I think the safety of the kids is most important. And we have kids walking all the time down McClellan from Myra Mesa neighborhood just to get to the school, and I can understand there'll be a lot of kids walking there. But car traffic is not something we need going through that new development. So that's my point. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Yes, Councilmember Richens.
Quick question.
Robbie, he had a question for you.
What has been the response of Mesa PD when you called them about the speeding issue?
We have called them quite often. They have other things to attend to, which I understand, and sometimes when they do get there, of course, the person is gone. But we have asked for speed bumps, and they have not been put in. We've asked for a sign at the end of the street that says, not a through street. That hasn't happened. Maybe now it will happen. I don't know. But we have asked, and we've just not been responded to favorably in our eyes.
Yeah. Chris, perhaps you could get a report from Mesa PD and transportation about the requests and how those have been handled. Thank you.
I mean, this goes back many years when my husband was alive. He used to call all the time because he was working in our garage. He was an AC guy and come home and working in the garage in units, and the cars would just fly by, and he would call them, and it's like, You know, after a while, you say, okay, you guys
have better things. Can you give us an idea of how long ago that was?
I'm going to say he passed away in 2010, so probably between at least 2006 and 2009,
and
those 3 years.
And the situation has persisted since that time?
Pardon?
The situation has
persisted. Absolutely. I mean, I don't even have to be out. I can hear them in my backyard, and I know what they're doing. The kids are racing, but there's also people trying to get through to Higley because I see them go down, turn around, and come back.
Okay, thank you. So,
thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Councilmember Luna.
Mr. West, I was wondering if you could speak to public safety and those kind of issues that, I'm sorry, I know her as Robbie. I can't remember her last name.
Hopwood. I think.
We work out together, so maybe if you could speak to those issues as far as public safety, and Mr. Lake is here, maybe he could address those issues as well.
Yes, sir. Mayor, Councilmember Luna, we have had some of those similar concerns with how the traffic might circulate through here, and that led to an adjustment to the site plan as it had previously been designed, so that it does become a little bit more of a less direct route to get from Higley to McClellan to try to cut down on some of that through traffic. There are several turns involved, which will also help slow traffic down if they do choose that route to get on out to Higley.
Is it possible to see a map of the area that's going to be developed? Mr. Lake can speak to that.
The Elmo up and running. Again, Mr. Lake may have it on his site plan, on his PowerPoint.
Would it be possible to show the map so that we can see that?
Sure. Mayor. Why don't we, Robbie, we'll have you take a seat, and we're out of cards now. So let's have the applicant come up, identify himself, and then he'll be able to address these issues or concerns.
Mayor, council members, my name is Sean Lake, 1744 South Val Vista, Suite 217 in Mesa. Here on behalf of KB Home, the property owner of the property that we're talking about. Let me kind of focus my comments and questions specifically to what was just brought up. So I'm going to try to work through here. Again, I'll start briefly just by letting everybody know we've done an extensive neighborhood outreach. We've worked with quite a few neighbors. We had quite a few people at the Planning Commission. Here's a map of the notification area that we sent for this project. Over 670 people were notified of this project. We went 1,000 feet plus 16 homeowners associations. So we've done a lot. We've done several neighborhood meetings as well and tried to incorporate many of the changes to the plan in direct relation to what we heard from the neighbors. This is the plan that was presented at the Planning Commission that I think a lot of people are referring to. And how do I get there's the arrow. I think a lot of people are concerned about the access up here along Higley Road that comes in and then winds through and then exits here on the southwest corner or the northwest corner of the site there at Barbara Bush Elementary School. In response to that, after the Planning Commission and calls that we were receiving from neighbors, we met with the City of Mesa Transportation Department and Public Safety about how do we resolve this so that we can make it a safer condition. In meeting with the planning staff and transportation, this is the plan that we came up with. We made an adjustment in the street alignment, and as you can see up at the top, it is a much more circuitous route to get from Higley over to McClellan. You really have to wind your way in and around the neighborhood, and so we think that will do a substantial amount to discourage any type of cut-through traffic. Obviously, we don't want cut-through traffic. This is a neighborhood where, you know, kids are going to be running and playing, but we do want to maintain that access to the school. We don't want people have to go out to an arterial onto another collector to go pick up their children from kindergarten or first, second, you know, the elementary school there. So we think that was important. But we did maintain those other access points. And it was quite evident at the Planning Commission that a lot of the neighbors did not want to have, or many, and as well as the two neighborhood meetings that we had, did not want to have access here at Princess and Gary at this location. So those were remained out. So this is the plan that we submitted to the city, and should the council move forward favorably on this project, this is the plan we would be presenting at subdivision technical review and working our way forward. We think it addresses many of those transportation public safety issues. Another issue that was raised And we've submitted a map to the city, deals with the density in the area. We think the density in the area is very consistent with what has been developed in the past in this area. In the map that we've presented, you can see that our project is about 5.3, 5.4 units to the acre. And if you look around that area, you're at about 4, 5, 6. Over in Alta Mesa area, you've got 18 units to the acre. Sorry, my eyes are bad, but hopefully up on the big screen you can see it better. But you up in the north, you've got 10 units to the acre, 11 units to the acre, 8 to 9 units to the acre up in the townhomes, and then into 4 and 2 and 3 and 7 and 13. Alta Mesa does have density very similar and quite honestly more dense than what we are proposing. We think this is very consistent, very compatible with what has been developed in this area. We think it's a great project. It's going to be a very attractive, good project by KFB Homes that we're looking forward to working with the city through the next steps and next several phases of this project. So we think it merits your support. We appreciate the vote on the general plan, but would request your vote in favor on the zoning as well. And so with that, I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Questions for Mr. Lake? Yes, Councilmember Luna.
Parking, is that an issue relative to the new development?
Parking, Mayor, council members. We did look and work with the staff prior to and had extensive discussion at the Planning Commission relative to parking. This project has roughly 430 units, and we did a parking analysis exhibit for this project, and there's roughly 515 parking spaces. That's off-street parking for guest parking. So over one per home of guest parking on this property. And that doesn't include parking that would be, some of the units have driveways, but all of them have two-car garages. And so that doesn't include the two-car garages. But we think there's more than enough parking. We've evaluated other projects in the city of Mesa and elsewhere, and this is in excess of most, if not all, of those.
Okay, Councilmember Cavanaugh. Okay, thank you.
Actually, it was me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Councilmember Summers. I'm sorry.
Go. Can you speak any to the traffic pattern in and out of Bush Elementary School for drop-off and pickup? How does that? You must have learned how that works for them. Are they required to come off of Ingram, or is that why there's a back entrance off of McClellan.
Is that me? Sorry about the buzzing. They can come in and off of both the north side and the south side. There's accessibility on both sides of the school.
There is, but how does the school control the flow?
I have not
of that
watched
traffic?
the drop-off and pick-up of the elementary students.
Okay. Because I'm seeing, what, one, two, about seven or eight traffic humps from McClellan all the way up to Ingram. I was just wondering if they're forcing them to come down that direction, which increases traffic on McClellan, or if that back access was designed just to provide access from this neighborhood into the school, or is that where the buses go? You don't have that info?
I don't have that information.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't see that.
Okay, while you're figuring that out, Councilmember Luna.
Councilman Summers, just wanted to, because it's so close to the school, they probably wouldn't have school buses going through that neighborhood, simply because of the proximity to the school.
They're coming in from the front. Most likely. I'm putting my school district
on. So more pedestrian traffic is what you're saying, and less vehicle traffic. Other questions for Mr. Lake? Concerns, information? Mr. Lake, anything else you want to share with us?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so we've had input from citizens. We've been able to talk with the applicant. We have it on our agenda to vote. The staff recommendation was approval with conditions. The P&Z board recommendation was approval with conditions. Any other information to come from the city council members with regard to this? Okay, so I'll look for a motion and a second. We have a motion by Vice Mayor Glover and a second by Councilmember Richens for approval. If there's no other information or questions, we'll go ahead and vote. Okay, we have seven ayes. This zoning issue passes. And that is item 10C. Okay, our next item is 11A, and that is to conduct a public hearing on a minor general plan amendment, GP minor 1406, and that is for the 3143 South Power Road, located south of Guadalupe Road on the east side of Power, 16.3 acres, minor general plan amendment to adjust the boundaries of an existing 2025 general plan land use designation from NC to HDR 15 plus to MDR 6 to 10 units. This request will allow the redevelopment of a single residential subdivision. So, Mr. Wesley, do you want to give us a quick little overview on this?
Yes, Mayor, Council. This is a project on the east side of Power Road. Previously, it had been planned for a small commercial tract in front and then some townhomes in back. The request to modify that to put in a small lot, single-family detached development on the same property. It does come with both staff and Planning and Zoning Board support.
Okay. Excellent. Any comments from the council members on this item? None. Ms. Mickelson, any requests to speak on this item?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay. I'll declare this public hearing closed. Item 11B, GP Minor, 3100 block of 3143 South Power Road, as just read, is we have a staff recommendation of adoption and a P&Z board recommendation 7-0 for approval. Would you like to throw B and C together?
I would love to throw B and C.
Okay, it looks like we have that option, 11B and C. Okay, great. We have a concurrence. That's excellent.
He doesn't mind cutting his billable hours.
Yeah. Well, I see that as an option. So we will then take 11C, which is also the 3100 block of South Power Road, and that is a rezone from LC to RM4 dash, and then an RSL to a 2.0 PAD. And the request will allow the development of a single residential division. And so, with that information, any council members wish to speak now on this consolidated 11B and 11C? And it looks like we have none. Do we have a motion by Councilmember Summers and a second by Councilmember Richens? If there's no further comment, we'll go ahead and vote. Wonderful. The item passes with seven ayes, no opposition. Great. Thank you. Don't get used to that. Our next item is to conduct a public hearing to take action on the following resolution regarding minor general plan amendment, GP minor 14-004. It is for the 6350 East Main Street, located east of Wrecker Road on the north side of Main Street. It's a minor general plan amendment to adjust the boundaries of an existing Mesa 2025 general plan land use designation from CC to MUR. This request will allow the redevelopment of a commercial building. And looks like Judith Gady, owner, and Lindsay Shuby is the applicant representative. Mr. Wesley, would you give us an overview on this, please?
Yes, Mayor and Council, this is about 6/10 of an acre there on the north side of Main Street. The area along here is currently general plan for commercial uses. It's an area that developed several years ago and recently has had a little bit of a struggle with the occupancy and use of the properties. This change to the mixed-use residential land use designation would provide additional development options in the area. From the current commercial zoning district that's on the property to some of the light industrial or even potentially some residential uses. So it provides a little bit more flexibility for this property and its continued use.
Okay, so this is a public hearing on this item. do we have any speakers, Ms. Mickelson?
No, just the cards.
Okay. Any comments by the council members on this public hearing portion? We have none. Okay, I'll declare the public hearing closed. The next item would be 12B, and this would be 6350 East excuse me, yeah, I've got this right, 6350 East Main Street, located east of Wrecker Road and on the north side of Main Street. Minor general plan amendment to adjust the boundaries of an existing 2025 general plan land use designation from CC to MUR. And again, this is a request for a redevelopment of a commercial building. The staff recommendation is adoption, and the P&Z board recommendation was adoption with a 4-0 with board members Clement, Hudson, and Johnson absent. Okay, so let's start. We have a lot of cards with this. Okay, thank you. We're working down to 12C. Thank you. Okay, so that is for the GP Minor. Let's just double check to make sure I'm getting this correctly and in order at 12B. So any speakers, Ms. Mickelson, on 12B?
No speakers.
No, okay. And so we have a motion by Councilmember Kavanaugh, and we have a second by Councilmember Glover. And if there's no other comments by the council members, yes, Councilmember Richens.
I would suggest that you make the general plan amendment contingent on the next item.
Okay.
That if the next item fails, that the general plan doesn't, I mean.
Okay.
If I might.
Yes, please.
First,
Ms. Spinner.
You can have a general plan amendment, so it's not contingent on the zoning. You can change the general plan designation and deny the zoning. However, if the council wants the, you know, both pass or you're not interested in the general plan, then perhaps you do a motion for reconsideration. So I would recommend that we start with just a vote on the general plan amendment. If it passes, move on to B, the rezoning. And if that passes, move on. If it doesn't pass, if you want to reconsider your decision on the general plan, you can do that.
Councilmember Richens?
Yep.
Does that work?
That's why we bring these smart attorneys.
Wonderful. Okay. Ms. Mickelson, any request to speak? I've probably have already asked you this twice, but just making sure. Okay, on this portion, we have that. No request to speak. Any other comments by the council members? Okay, then we'll entertain a motion. We do have a motion by Councilmember Kavanaugh for adoption or approval, excuse me, and a second by Councilmember Glover.
Just to reiterate, this is the general plan?
Yes, this is the general plan portion of. And could you tell us?
Yes, this is a resolution for the general plan amendment. It requires 4 votes.
Wonderful. Thank you, Ms. Spinner. So it requires 4 votes on this. If there's no other comment, we'll go ahead and vote. Okay, we have, let's see, count that out. We have 5 ayes and 2 nays with Council Member Summers and Richens on the nay portion. So this does pass. This portion of it does pass. And that would be 12B. Okay, thank you on that. Our next item will be 12C. And this portion, Mr. Wesley, why don't you describe to us what we're doing on 12C?
Mayor and Council, this is a request to rezone the property from the current limited commercial zoning district to the LI, limited industrial zoning district, with a planned area development overlay to go with that. This would allow the property to expand the uses that are currently allowed from the retail commercial type uses to some light industrial uses for this property. The PAD is on there because of some of the existing site conditions that don't meet current standards with building placement and parking, so it helps address those and take care of those modifications. I'll go ahead and maybe jump quickly to the next agenda item also, the development agreement. We had, as we looked at this and light industrial in this particular location near some residential, we thought there were some of the uses within the industrial district that may not really be appropriate. So the development agreement that's companion to this, let's talk about in this particular report, would limit a few of those industrial uses that would take place on the property.
Okay. Thank you for that overview. Okay, we have quite a few cards. Looks like we have 6 in support and 6 in opposition. Maybe Mr. Wesley wants to clarify a point before we move on to hearing from folks. While they're working on that.
I would like to.
Yes, Mr. Wesley, any further information? Okay, good. Then we'll go ahead and start our first speaker that would like to speak would be Don Tucker. We'd like to invite up Mr. Tucker. It looks like he is in support of this item.
Mayor, before we start.
Yes, a question by Council Member Summers.
Not so much a question, just a comment and maybe some direction from you.
one of the things I'm concerned about here is, first of all, I objected to this because I have concerns over industrial zoning so close to residential zoning, particularly since it's right on the other side of a fence. Now that the council has decided by a majority that the industrial zoning has been approved as part of the general plan, now we can move forward with, and it didn't meet the general plan. So now that it meets the general plan, I want to hear the merits of this particular case from a zoning perspective. What I don't want us to fall back into is a discussion on the merits of medical marijuana. We all have our opinions on that. It was a very close vote, but the fact of the matter is it is legal in this state. So I would prefer that we just hear the merits of the case from a zoning perspective and not defense of medical marijuana.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
We can always ask, huh? Let's go ahead and we'll go ahead and run through the speaker.
Or opposition
to, yes. We'll run through the speaker portion of that, and then we'll give the opportunity for the applicant to speak and answer any concerns or questions that you've heard. Mr. Tucker, wonderful.
My name is Donald Tucker. I live at 34th Way in Phoenix, Arizona. My background, I'm primarily a security expert. I've met with the people who are developing the site in question, and I gave them my advice as far as what legal and security provisions should be put in place, both inside the facility and outside. I've made suggestions and recommendations, and the suggestions and recommendations as far as I am concerned has been adopted. I am going to be available to the site owner in the future for any questions they may have as far as security at the site, and we'll be willing to work with them, you know, throughout the process. I think my extensive background as far as being a security expert, you know, is valuable for this individual in order to make the site, you know, the type of site that would be conducive to the city of Mesa, to the residents and neighbors in the area. And if there's any questions that that will be addressed, I would be willing to address them. That's basically all I have.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Tucker. Our next speaker will be Kevin Johnson. We'd like to invite up Mr. Johnson. And he's opposed to the item. And, sir, you have 3 minutes, and feel free to let us know your address.
I'm at 6330 East Mesa Road. I'm the assistant, the assistant of the pastor. And I'm opposed to it because couple of reasons. Because it brings, like he was thinking about safety. I've got a grandson that goes to that church there. And I have family. And I have a lot of things I begin to think about. I've seen a lot of, I'm opposed to because I've been in the military myself, and I've seen what drugs can do and how it can affect people. And that's why I'm strictly opposed to it, because I care about people. And that's what we're here for. That church is for one reason, is to help the city of Mesa become a better city. And that's what we're all about. Thank you, sir.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Our next speaker will be Kent McInlary. Forgive me on the pronunciation, sir. And your address, and you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, council members. My name is Kent McInlary. I live at 4023 East Garnett in Mesa. I office at 1019 South Stapley. I'm in favor of the rezoning application. I've known the owner of the property, Judith Cady, professionally for over 20 years. I consider her a person of good character who will develop this property properly. The reasons in favor of rezoning, I think, were stated by Mr. Wesley. This property is currently zoned commercial. You look at it, it's a wasteland. There's far too much commercial, empty commercial zoning in the immediate area. I recognize Mr. Summers' point about the property backing up to residential. I would submit that if I were a residential owner of a property there, I would rather see development, occupancy, than look at what's there right now. The only way, in the near future at least, that this property is going to be developed is if the zoning has changed. For that reason, I would support the rezoning. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Our next speaker is Donald Jackson. I can get that one. And he has indicated he's opposed. Mr. Jackson, if you'll come up, please, and address, and you have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Donald Jackson, and the residence is 6330 East Main Street. And I am opposed, and as Council Member Sumner said, I just wanted to bring out the zoning issues of it. We're not here to throw stones at anybody. I pastor a church there at 6330 East Main, and the church there is a nonprofit church. I've labored there for the better part of 2 years. I do not receive a salary from the church. As a matter of fact, as they've already shared, the area is struggling. And for that matter, I put a lot of my own personal finances into the church so it can be there. I've seen a lot of things go on in that area, and I'm there strictly for the people. We ran across an issue, and Mayor Fenter was there when we had a meeting at the church. A lot of the residents turned out in opposition of it and voiced their concerns. But at that time, it was brought out that there was not an occupancy permit for the church, which was a surprise to me, and actually Mayor Fenter was the one that brought that out. I went back and did some research. We moved in under a different property manager, I should say. And at the time we moved in, he assured me that he had taken care of the occupancy permit. He had made all the modifications necessary to obtain the occupancy permit, but here it is some 2 years later, I found out that he did not do it now. This company is no longer the property manager, and I spoke with the current property manager, and they said that they had no record of it as well. So I've gone down to the city of Mesa, and we've made steps to rectify that issue. I've operated New Testament Christian Church out of good faith my entire time there. Now, I know it was brought up that we're not a church because we don't have an occupancy permit. We can say what we want, but that does not do away with the hard work that I've put in over the past couple of years to try to help the people of that community. And as far as the zoning issue, this is what the zoning says. This dispensary shall not be located a minimum distance of 1,200 feet from churches, place of worship, libraries, parks, private-owned, designated open space recreational areas maintained by a homeowners association. And again, I'm not here to throw stones, and I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to state what the law says concerning the location. And I ask if you could consider that when you vote on this issue. Thank you.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you. Next speaker. Is J.P. Holyoke. J.P.? and you indicate you're in support. If you'll give us your address, you have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is J.P. Holyoke. I reside at 6641 East Ironwood Drive in Paradise Valley, Arizona. If you'd asked me several years ago what my thoughts were on medical marijuana, I would have told you that it's probably a joke and a way for, or a ruse for people who want to get high to have access to marijuana. I don't believe that today, and I know that's not true because my daughter happens to be one of the youngest medical marijuana patients in Arizona. I can tell you that medical marijuana has absolutely saved her life. I felt so strongly about that that I'm also a medical marijuana dispensary owner now. I don't use marijuana myself and don't have any inclination to, but this absolutely changes people's lives. You want to talk about the zoning of this, and I appreciate that. That's what this hearing is for. However, we all know that people oftentimes use zoning issues as a way to block things that they philosophically disagree with. I don't expect to change anybody's minds here, but I understand that without the zoning provisions, there won't be access to the medicine that people so dearly need. As a dispensary owner, I'm also a competitor to this dispensary. I don't say that because I'm in bed with them or I support them in any financial way, shape, or form. I support people having access to this medicine because it changes lives. And you can certainly use zoning as a way to block people from having access to that. I would ask that you don't. I can also speak to the safety of these dispensaries. I own two of them. We have a perfect and clean record with our city police departments, and we've had zero incidences whatsoever at our dispensaries. When I asked the police department if they had received any calls or any increased crime in the area or any problems, they told me that they had bigger problems with the Taco Bell across the street from us. That's all. If there's any questions, now's a good time to ask.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate that. Our next speaker will be Steve Gettler, who indicates opposition. Welcome, sir, and if you'll give us your address, and you have 3 minutes.
My name is Steve Gettler. I got property at 6449 East Albany Street. I'm a first-timer to a council meeting on such an issue that's important to me and the residents of the area concerned. I'm here today to inform you that when I walked some of the neighborhood to inform them of what was going on the corner, they were against it, and they were wondering, why didn't they get a letter, although some did? Why wasn't in the letter what was going there? And that's my question. I feel they knew the opposition would be strong. They know why they wanted to rezone. Their lawyer states that there is many, too many businesses to list. How many of those would need rezoning? They couldn't list five or two or even the one that they knew that needed the rezoning to have the distribution center that they were for. I believe this is wrong. Also, it is close to a county island. We don't have the presence of Mesa Police in our neighborhood. Since we are a county island, the deputy sheriffs take care of this area, and it is a large territory. If something would go wrong, it would be too late to get the suspect if he would already be gone. I think we all know that the nicest people are attracted to these areas. I don't want it in my backyard. Would you want it in yours? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gettler. Our next person that would like to speak in support is Jennifer Welton. I'd like to invite up Jennifer.
She called before, it couldn't be here, but she sent a statement. Could I read her statement?
Why don't you go ahead and submit it then, unless council members think differently. Voila, we have it. So we'll go ahead and take that into consideration. We still have some others. Is that okay with you?
Sure. Do you want not to read it
there? Yeah, not to read it there. Okay. We'll go ahead. It looks kind of lengthy, and we'll make sure that the council members have this.
You know, if you go to the top left of your computer, there's a 12 font you can use that makes it legible.
Okay, our next speaker in opposition will be Dennis Callison. Dennis, come on up. And he marks up opposition. And if you'll give us your address in 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. My address is 6306 East Main Street in Mesa.
I have a business there located on the same block as the proposed dispensary. I'm part of that wasteland that a previous speaker mentioned, and I'm here to tell you that it's not a wasteland because there's an abundance of retail zoning. It's a wasteland because we're in a desperate neighborhood. It's a wasteland because we're just full of 99-cent stores and Goodwill stores and Salvation Army stores and not the right kind of business to draw in other kinds of business. Councilman Summers asked that we not speak to medical marijuana. I don't think I'll do that. I don't think I'll violate that directive, but I'll dovetail on what the pastor said a minute ago. There's all kinds of zoning amendments I see on medical marijuana, as he mentioned, that it can't be by behavioral treatment centers, alcohol abuse centers, correctional, transitional centers. It can't be near churches and all the things he mentioned. And clearly those are all call out the fact that those communities are at risk to be placed by one of these facilities. Again, probably violates the directive, but since the, he owns a facility and he's in favor of the facilities. I'll give you an anecdotal experience. When I talked 2 weeks ago to a good friend of mine after talking to you folks, he's a highway patrolman in Globe. He had a traffic stop about a month ago. He pulled over four young 20-year-olds. He smelled marijuana in their car. He asked, "What's going on, guys?" All four produced medical marijuana carts. He said, "What's up?" And they just smiled. So there's stories on both sides for that sort of thing. And this is such new, uncharted territory. And our neighborhood is in such desperate shape that this is just the wrong place for it. I live in Las Sendas, Red Mountain area. I'm happy. I have two teenagers. I'm happy to volunteer a facility. I'll speak in favor of it in my community because it's stable where I live. It's not stable where my business is at. And my final comment, I hope I have time. The pastor spoke of his church at New Testament. If this was a court case and it had to be tried on facts and you had to decide on facts and he didn't have that C of O, and you'd have to say, "Sorry, pastor, you don't have the C of O." But I believe this is a deliberative body and you guys can decide on the facts. And the facts are his church has been there for 2 years. He's got a building, he's got a sign, he's got a congregation, he's a pastor, he's in our community. And I don't know how you can look the other way. He's 300 feet away from where this facility is proposed. And I just wish you would shoehorn it into some other part of Mesa and not this particular location. Thank you all for your consideration.
Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate that. Our next person that wishes to speak, Mike Richards. Doesn't indicate support or against. Mr. Richards, if you'll come up, please, and give us your address, and you have 3 minutes, sir.
My name is Mike Richards. My address is 19406 North 60th Avenue. Mr. Mayor and council members, thank you for letting me speak today. I'm the proposed tenant if the rezoning goes through, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about myself. I've been in business 35 years in Maricopa County. I have three different kinds of businesses, motor vehicle businesses, one in Phoenix, one in Scottsdale, and my largest is here in Mesa. Not only do I think of myself as a good citizen because I have worked with zoning for the past 2 years to try to bring this about, but I'm also have worked with my community as a businessman. For example, I am a major sponsor with the Phoenix Police Department for Special Olympics. I understand the needs of children very, very much. Pediatric Bain Foundation. I'm a major sponsor for those in granting wishes for children who suffer severely and would just like to see a day or two of happiness. As a business, I've tried to give back to our community in many, many ways. The Arizona Kidney Foundation, we donate to. POCA runs for child abuse and prevention, we donate to. So not only do we generate jobs, about 150 jobs and significant revenue, but we also give back to the community in other ways. We have sponsors for children, water, and pool safety. Classes and demonstrations have been held at my stores. I sponsor rides for widows of motorcycle accidents. I've worked with the fire department, providing money for burn victims. I work with the Elks Club and help raise money for our veterans and scholarships for our children. I also have glaucoma, and that's kind of what got me involved in this. I believe you've heard a lot of different things today, and I'm not here to cast any stones either. I believe that our children are the most important thing, their education, their safety. At my store in Phoenix, which is in a kind of a rough neighborhood, the kids know they can come to that store. We have a sign there on the window where we protect them if they come in. Never been a child harmed in our store. We carry that same business sense into this opportunity, if you allow it. So I just wanted to give you a chance to meet me and thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Our next person that would like to speak in opposition is Beth Hall. Ms. Hall, if you'll come up, please. You'll share with us your address, and you have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Thank you. Last time I saw Mr. Fenter, we were meeting in the church. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say I'm one of the ones that's opposed, not to another CHAD in this area, but for this particular location. I own the properties, 9 apartments, at 6407, 6413, and 6419 East Avalon, directly across the street. This location has already been stated that it's within 300 feet of the church, and just an alleyway, a city alleyway, across from apartments. These are young families with children. The school bus stop, the junior high bus stop's right there at that building. The elementary is half a block up the street. This is not a safe area for this one purpose, one property owner, and one location. We have 39% of the people in the neighborhood that didn't know, that have signed opposition letters, and you've received those protest letters. I'm just asking, will you please protect the public? And we are the public. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. Our next person that would like to speak is Judy Gady. We'd like to invite up Judy. She indicates she is in support. And if you'll give us your address, and you have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Mayor, Councilman, my name is Judy Gady. I live at 505 West Sunset Circle in Mesa. I've lived there for over 40 years. I am the owner of the property. I had bought it in 1971. It, fortunately for me, has done quite well. I've taken care of it. I go out there. I had an office in there for 17 years. So I was there. I knew everything that was going on in and around the property. I agree with what people are saying about the neighborhood, and that was what got me looking into what Mike is referring to, because I wanted some safe. I wanted lights. I wanted cameras. It's a dark alley. The alley divides county and city. It was right down the middle. We intend to, you know, cover up all of that, have cameras and this type of thing. But right now, I can't rent it out for anything. It took me 40 years to get it full, and now tenants had to go other places. So I sincerely believe I can be a great neighbor and help with the cameras, with the lighting, with the all the work that they're going to do. It's a nice start, and I think that the rezoning itself might start a little different trend up and down the whole street. So thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. Looks like our last speaker, who is in opposition, is David Gallagher. We'd like to invite up Mr. Gallagher. He may have left. Okay, thank you. So he was in opposition and wanted that duly noted on there. Okay, at this point, we'd like to go ahead and have the applicant step forward and give us an overview of their side of the information.
Mayor and Council, I'm not very technologically advanced. That's why Nick Zabrowski's here. I always joke he's the brains of the operation. He gets everything going. Okay, perfect. Thank you very much, Nick. Mayor, Council Members, Lindsay Shuby with the law firm of Withy Morris, 2525 East Arizona Biltmore Circle. I am here to talk about the land use elements of this case. You'll see on your screen the property. We are north of Main Street in between Wrecker and Power Roads. As we've discussed and as I alluded to the other night in the introduction, this area makes up one of the oldest parts of Mesa. Most of these buildings were developed in the 70s and the 80s. They are 30 to 40 years old. The barriers and the opportunities to support and maintain healthy office and retail and other service-oriented uses vary considerably than other parts of Mesa that you guys all represent. The majority of the properties as you drive around are underutilized or vacant. The buildings are vacant, they're dilapidated or obsolete as a result of being neglected by their owners. The Mesa General Plan, and I think you know, as you guys have worked so hard on the new general plan that's being proposed, identifies these older developments as being prime for redevelopment. That's what we're here for. The property owners right now are hesitant to invest in all these properties along Main Street, and so it's resulted in limited services and employment opportunities. The existing conditions today, the vacant buildings, they depress the property values and they reduce the quality of life all along this part of Main Street. This all contributes to the instability and the disinvestment in this part of Maine. When we were preparing for the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, you know, you drive around and you look and you see the four lease signs, and I thought, gosh, I'm a lawyer. I'm not a numbers person, but I'm a facts person. How many vacancies are there? What does that look like? So I called a broker. 63 vacant commercial retail spaces. One vacant light industrial space within 2 miles. This area is poised that you cannot rent out these retail commercially zoned properties right now. There's just an abundance of properties. Again, the property. Let's see. We're just going to do a quick little tour because I know you probably have all been down there. Three parcels, unincorporated Maricopa County to the north and Mesa proper surrounding it. Southeast of the property, this is looking at the corner of 64th and Main Streets. Again, all this is west of our property. Vacancies. All commercially zoned property. This is looking at the southwest corner of 63rd and Main Street. Again, big boxes, all sorts of commercially zoned property that's vacant. And again, same thing. What the rezone request entails, your staff touched on it. It is a request to go from limited commercial to light industrial bonus intensity zone overlay. Say that four times fast. Basically, it expands on the uses that are already there. So the retail uses that are already there, we can expand on it. It opens up Judy's base to be able to lease her property and while restricting the really, really heavy, intense stuff. You know, we were joking in the office, it's light, it's diet, light industrial. You know, we take out the really heavy stuff. It, with this bonus intensity zone overlay, used in conjunction with the light industrial zoning, it will create orderly, compatible aesthetic land use planning in a mature part of town. This will encourage the redevelopment of the area. We see this as a jump start to that part of Main Street. We Judy is so committed, you know, longtime City of Mesa resident, committed to redeveloping the area. This is the current property now. It's pretty good looking. It's a good looking building. The problem is it's vacant. It's vacant. You don't. I wouldn't want to live behind a vacant building. That's where I'm at. Any type of redevelopment in this area will do right by the neighbors. Judy is property owner. She's been there 40-year resident of Mesa. She's by the property every few days. If there's anyone who cares about the security and the stability of this neighborhood, it is Judy. This is her biggest investment. With the proposed site improvements, if our rezone is approved, we're going to repave the exterior of the building, add landscaping, green screening, trees. Again, it's the first phase of this property would be the build out of a 2,100 square foot building. This is a rendering of the proposed site. Once it is redeveloped, the inside would all be brought up to code, which is a great benefit to the area. We come here with a staff recommendation of approval. Planning Commission unanimously recommended approval of this request. I'm going to just give a couple minutes of my presentation to Mr. Mel McDonald, who's my co-counsel on this case. But as far as the land use elements, I truly believe that this is a land use decision that makes sense for this part of Mesa.
Thank you. My name is Mel McDonald. I'm a resident of Gilbert, Arizona. I'm also a lawyer. In the 1980s, I used to be a Superior Court judge, and I was a United States attorney setting national drug policies during the Reagan administration. This is where I met Don Tucker, who is sitting beside me. He's just not a security expert. He was head of the United States Secret Service. When the Pope came to town and when the presidents would come to Arizona, Don Tucker headed the detail. He was later appointed by Bush the senior to be the United States Marshal. After that, he was appointed chief of security for all federal courts in the United States. When they had the Oklahoma City bombing, Don Tucker was one of the heads of that investigation. I say that because one would think that somebody with my background would be speaking in opposition to marijuana, medical marijuana, but I don't for a good reason. I have a son that was brain injured, hit by a car, just as the young gentleman earlier in this meeting today. He suffers from epilepsy. For years, he could not eat food, going from 180 to 119 pounds. I will never forget when the proposition passed in 2010, seeing the tears of joy of my wife, because she would no longer have to worry about illegal marijuana that was being given to him to keep him alive. In 2013, I was asked by a client to drive a crooked medical marijuana dispensary owner out. I litigated the first case in Yavapai County, and the reason was is that I am committed, and Don Tucker and Michael Richards, that this is going to be a clean operation. He was actually driven out. What Don Tucker and I have done, and I happen to be the chairman of Mesa East Dispensary and Grow Site, and my wife happens to head Mesa North. Why do I say that, and why do I speak for somebody that would be a competitor? Because my wife used to have to drive from Gilbert to Glendale to get the marijuana medicine for her child. The security at this facility will be second to none. There will be cameras inside and outside the dispensary. For those that have opposed it, that worry about crime, at Mesa East and Mesa North, there has not been a single violation. When you hear about the crime, where the crime is occurring, it's occurring at these clubs, these casual clubs where they go that are illegal under the law. The dispensaries, people have to sign in, they have to view the cards, they have to be approved. Everybody there is videotaped, and that would be that what would happen at this site. I would think in this area, which has been plagued by crime for years, to have a building that has cameras not only pointed inside but outside at the entire terrain would be worthwhile. One other point, and I'll sit down. We read in the paper a couple of weeks ago where a customer came to Mesa East, had bought marijuana with a valid card, and had gone out and sold it to an undercover officer. Don Tucker and I discussed it. Even though DHHS didn't have the policy, we voted and banned that person forever. No crime in Mesa North, no crime in Mesa East that has been reported. The only time we've ever alerted Mesa police is somebody the other day at North accidentally hit the panic button. This is something that will be a blessing, I believe, for this community. An area that suffered with blight will have a new, refurbished building, conscious of security, and created in such a way that rather than attract flower children, you legitimately attract patients, people with cancer, with pain, with epilepsy, and other forms of illness. Those associated with Michael Richards in that dispensary are committed that that's going to be a crime-free place and that the neighbors do not need to worry about crime because it's not going to happen at that location. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other information from the applicant then? Okay. Anything? We have multiple requests from the council members for questions and information. We'll start with Council Member Benelli. Yes, hit that button, please. Please.
Okay. I am inclined to vote against this zoning amendment because I believe what the last council did when they decided that these dispensaries should go into light industrial, that they wouldn't butt up to residential. I think that I know that the other dispensaries that are here in the city are under those light industrial kind of restrictions. And I don't believe that this property kind of fits that, and I think it gives an unfair advantage to this dispensary because they're on a major street and they're and also the issue with them putting up to the residential property.
Okay. Thank you, Councilmember Benelli. The next person that's indicated is Councilmember Richens.
Yeah, I'm also inclined to vote against the rezoning, and for very similar reasons. Typically, when we can provide a buffer between industrial and residential properties, we do so. There's not much of an opportunity for that, and it's not that redevelopment needs to occur. You don't need to lecture me about redevelopment of property. I live in a neighborhood that's 50 years old. I live in Northwest Mesa, that's 50 and 60 years old. We've been dealing with redevelopment issues in my neighborhood for a very long time. I've seen many a business come into a blighted industrial center claiming that it's going, or a commercial center claiming it's going to revitalize the area because it's of its merits. Check cashing made claims. They fixed up lots of dilapidated commercial space, and it's had no positive effect on the local economy. So claiming that one business is going to come in here and totally turn the center around is not, doesn't have any evidence. I've seen no evidence of that. This isn't about security for me. It's not about the merits of medical marijuana for me. I know I have friends very dear to me that have health conditions that medical marijuana has helped. So that's for me, that's not the issue at all. And I've observed the dispensaries that have been open have not been a crime magnet, which is great. But if the perceived solution is this light industrial for the redevelopment of the center, and we're doing it just to make an exception for one business, I have a hard time going there and doing that, particularly with a residential neighborhood next door. So the last point I want to make is I think when we very carefully went through this ordinance a few years ago, I think we got it right at that time. The state drew lines that made it difficult for this particular, what do you call it, Gordon, a CHA? And that stands for what? Community Health Analysis Area, okay. So in this particular area, it made it very difficult for a place to locate. That's not the city of Mesa's problem. Our ordinance, we were very careful about crafting it in a way that provided opportunity across the city, and I think we did so. Even with the state choosing to draw the lines that they did, I don't think it's fair to other operators of this for us to make exceptions just for the one. Same for the county. There's county zoning in here. Maybe, I'm not going to propose possible solutions to your zoning issue, but I'm not going to change zoning just for a particular business, particularly when it affects a residential neighborhood adjacent to it. So again, I stand by the decisions we made a year ago. It's one of the rare things that we got right without a lot of tinkering, and I commend this group for being thoughtful about it and being very careful about how we went about it, for keeping an eye on, the protection of commercial areas and residential neighborhoods. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Councilmember Richens. Councilmember Summers.
Mayor, I actually just had some questions for staff. I think the key issue on the zoning change still centers around the church, whether it has a certificate of occupancy or not, or is it working on its certificate of occupancy? What's going to be the legal answer to the location of the church being just 300 feet away? I think that's a significant issue.
Mayor, Councilmember Summers, I might invite Gordon to come up. He's the zoning administrator, and under the code, he interprets the code. So he has gone through this analysis.
This is where you earn your money. This is a muddy issue on this one.
Mayor, council members, when the church was first brought to my attention, we took a look at some of the more technical issues about it. There's no doubt in my mind that it's operating as a church. I would not call it anything but what it is. I believe it is a place of worship. The technical issue that's involved is compliance with, in a complete degree, with the entirety of the City of Mesa codes. The protection that's offered through this 1,200-foot buffering mechanism that's for the church is afforded to those places of worship that are in complete compliance with the city's ordinances. Because this
under
one...
state law, or is that local?
It's local. It's the city ordinance.
So it's our local ordinance.
It's a local building code.
Is there a state law on the distance?
No,
from a church, this is just City of Mesa's.
It's just there's a separation requirement. I believe it's 500 feet, if I remember correctly, from schools. The City of Mesa extended that out to 1,200 feet from schools, but not for necessarily from places of worship.
Okay, thank you.
So if and when this particular place of worship comes in complete compliance with the building code requirements, then the separation requirements that are specified in the zoning ordinance, they would be afforded that protection as well. And basically, if the council were to approve this, then it becomes a race. If the church were to get the certificate of occupancy done before these folks can get their registration completed and submitted, then the protection would kick in at that time, and this would no longer be an eligible site. It's only 300 feet away.
So then it would be a race between
the certificate of occupancy for the church and the registration requirements.
And the first to cross the line with a certificate of occupancy wins?
With the, the first to complete the application requirements, yes, and get the any inspections or anything else that would be required.
Oh, goody. Do we sell tickets to that? Probably a bad idea. Okay. And then just for clarification, remind me what is in a light industrial zoning in this particular application. What kind of uses are allowed above what's in a commercial zone?
Typically, you'd find manufacturing opportunities, warehousing opportunities.
Manufacturing is pretty broad. What is manufacturing?
Generally, anything that you would be able to assemble within a building. It's an indoor manufacturing, warehousing, distribution facilities. What other kinds of things? Contractors' yards. I think there's the development agreement goes through and specifies a few things that would be excluded from that. But generally speaking, it becomes more of an employment-based district rather than a retail-based district or a restaurant-type-based district. You would see activities that, for the most part, would attract people for jobs as opposed to some sort of exchange or commercial exchange.
Okay.
That's all. Gordon, if you'll stay, please. Councilmember Luna, and then I had a question for you on this.
Thank you so much. Is there any other light industrial zoning within that CHA?
No, there's not. The CHAs were set up after the council's determination that industrial should be the primary use for medical marijuana in Mesa. The boundary for the Mesa Central CHA, on the east, it's Power Road. On the west, it's Country Club. On the north, it's Brown Road. On the south, it's Broadway. Within that particular area, there's currently no designation for industrial uses. There's no zoning for industrial uses within that area.
And who set the CHAs?
CHAs were set primarily, it was an existing statistical model that was used by the state of Arizona for the analysis of various illnesses, cancer clusters, those kinds of things, so they could keep track and monitor those types of situations. The map that they had divided the state into approximately 110 different districts. That's roughly the number of dispensaries that were required under the proposition. And so because the numbers lined up, it was easier for them to use the existing map that they had rather than recreate something different.
And we currently have dispensaries in each of the CHAs located in Mesa?
There are 5 CHAs assigned to Mesa. There are 4 that are operating, to my knowledge, in the other 4 CHAs. Mesa West would be Mesa Country Club, from Country Club to the west of that area to the city limit. Mesa South would be Baseline Road to Broadway, Country Club to Power. Mesa North would be anything north of Brown Road between Country Club and Power. And then Mesa East is everything east in Mesa, from Power Road to the county line, from the Tonto National Forest to the north boundary of Queen Creek.
Good. And to clarify, we set our policy as far as placing these dispensaries in industrial settings prior to what we knew or what the state had come up with a plan, correct? Could you explain a little bit of that?
The city council and staff started working on an ordinance when we became aware of the proposition, with the likelihood that it may pass, it may not pass, but we wanted to be prepared in case it did. So we started in October before the November election. The council worked on it once it was confirmed that the proposition had passed in December. I believe it was adopted finally in February and became effective in March. So there was quite a bit of work that was done, quite a bit of discussion between staff and council in the development of the policy.
Okay. And then could you speak just quickly, what if we had a bad actor that goes into one of these? What's the processes available to Mesa City with regard to ending a dispensary if they ended up to be a bad actor or a challenge? Do we have any options along those lines?
We could bring it to the attention of the licensing agency, which is the Arizona Department of Health Services. There would also, I imagine, be whatever criminal sanctions might be available through the law.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. Thank you for that. Did you want to, Councilmember Kavanaugh is up for any questions or information, then we could go to Councilmember Summers. Yes, Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you. I don't have any questions for you, Gordon, but I just have comments. I'm in support of the application in this case. I think the applicant has presented a fair and compelling argument for these changes. And for a variety of reasons, and I've listened very carefully to comments of my colleagues and all the speakers. The reality is, in planning and zoning, and I've done just as many or more of these than anyone here at the table, and the reality is we do pick winners and losers in planning and zoning cases, often for single businesses. That's part and parcel of what that process is. I think what has been done here with the proposal of the accompanying development agreement, I think provides an asset in terms of defining what kind of industrial uses would be prohibited in the area. I think that strengthens the case. I think the change in zoning does create an opportunity for reinvestment in the area because, trust me, I know all about areas with an overabundance of retail and its effect on neighboring businesses and neighborhoods. You know, if we can encourage more jobs in an area with a zoning change like this, again, I think that's a positive to the community. Right at this point in time, we're voting. There are no legal barriers to the council to approve this rezoning. From a public safety perspective in general, we've had very few, if any, reported problems with any of the four facilities that are operating in Mesa. Two of those are in my council district right now. And again, one of those is only two blocks from my office. And again, as Melvin McDonald, Judge McDonald had indicated, these go overboard in terms of being good neighbors and being safe because they want their employees to be safe, they want the patients to be safe, they want the neighbors to be safe. And generally, they do create a safer environment for the neighboring areas. And so, again, when I look at all of this, and it's unfortunate the state did what it did in terms of picking its definition for boundaries, I think this is a valid case to rezone. I think the use is going to be one that is a benefit to patients within this area. I think it will be a good catalyst for redevelopment. I don't think there'll be any public safety issues that we see. Again, typically these are going to be a lot safer than adding a Circle K to a neighborhood. So I'm in support of the application.
Thank you, Councilmember Kavanaugh. Councilmember Summers.
A couple more questions for Gordon since he sat down. Thanks, Gordon. Gordon, the first one is, does the state require, and maybe this isn't for you, but maybe for our good city attorney, does the state require that cities have zoning within each CHAW, or just that it allows for one dispensary within a CHAW? How is that worded?
My understanding of the proposition is we have to make reasonable accommodations for this in our zoning rules. And as far as the assignment of this, the state rules basically assign one dispensary certificate per CHAW. We have tried to talk to the state about the possibility of transferring a dispensary certificate to a neighboring CHAW. For example, in the case of Mesa, moving it a half mile to the north from the north boundary at Brown Road would put it in an industrial district. The state has not been open to making those kinds of changes in the rules to date.
And we had requested that.
Yes, we have.
Is there zoning within the county that meets the requirement that's within this CHAW? Are there locations based on the county's zoning? Are there locations in the county that would be?
My understanding is that there are eligible sites. In order for any eligible site to be there, there has to be a willing owner that's willing to lease to these folks as well.
And if just out of, and maybe this is a little hypothetical, but if we had zoning locations and the county had, because it sounds like there are eligible locations within this CHAW, but nobody was willing to lease to them, is that legally, are we responsible for that?
I do not believe the city of Mesa would be legally responsible for that. As Gordon said, we have to make reasonable zoning laws. And the council, in this case, made what it believed to be reasonable zoning laws in placing that medical marijuana facilities in light industrial. Unfortunately, then the state came in and drew the lines. And with the CHAWs that it established, there is no Mesa zoning property within this CHAW. There is, however, as Gordon said, county property available.
All right.
Okay. Ms. Shuby.
Mayor, Council, if you'll just indulge me a moment, and especially Councilwoman Benelli is new to the party, and I just wanted to take a moment. You know, Councilman Richens, I give him credit from day one. We've looked at all sorts of avenues for a problem. We've got a problem. Is it Mesa's problem? Per se, no. Is it my client's problem? Yes. Is it the county's problem? Is it the state's problem? I don't know, but there's a big problem, and we've been working on it for over two years. We have a little bit of historical information that you may not have been aware of, and yeah, I just think it does help in terms of all that we've been through. You know, a dispensary was awarded for this central CHAW. It was supposed to go in the county. Lawsuit was filed by Maricopa County to prohibit, or ordinance changed. Even Gordon's more of an expert on this, but I won't make him get back up. Maricopa County basically prohibited, it was only allowed, medical marijuana dispensaries were only allowed in industrial zoning, and it couldn't be in conflict with federal law. So there's a lawsuit filed. So we came to Mesa. Mesa, what do we do? Well, can you move to another CHAW? Sure. Absolutely. We'd love to do what we can to accommodate you and your zoning ordinance. Request a letter, go back and forth, submit it to the state. State says, oh, we changed our mind. You're not allowed to change CHAWs. Bummer. Oh, no. Okay, what do we do now? Do we do a text amendment to your ordinance? No. Your ordinance was purposefully adopted. You want it in light industrial zoning. Do we allow it in the industrial, or the ID infill district zoning category? No, we don't like that either. It was purposefully adopted for light industrial. Our charge was find a property in the central CHAW that is fit for redevelopment where light industrial would make sense. We've been, you know, and I'm not even following the timeline that Nick so eloquently put together here. I'm just kind of taking you through that. We've searched. We have driven the county island. We've driven the central. I mean, we've brought multiple applications to the table. Gordon, God love Gordon, keep sending them addresses. No, this doesn't meet the separation requirement. This doesn't meet that. It's not that easy. It's not, you know, is it your problem? No. Is it the state's problem? Is it? We think we've come up with the best solution to this problem, and we are respectfully requesting the city of Mesa to help us solve this problem. That's where we're at. That's where we're at, and we think this is the best possible solution. Jennifer Welton, who wasn't able to speak, I think one thing that's important to note is she does live in this trough. She lives 2 miles from the site, and she's just gone through litigation with the state. Her son desperately needs this medication, and you can see the letter there, but she lives 2 miles from this location. She lives in District 2. She couldn't be here tonight because her son was having seizures, and she didn't want to leave him, but she desperately wanted to be here on his behalf. And again, as far as protected uses, separation requirements, for what we are asking for tonight, this is a case requesting light industrial zoning. There are no protected uses for light industrial zoning. As far as uses, we'll work with Gordon and be a good neighbor. Thank you.
Thank you. I did have a question for the police department, not for you, but we had a police department representative. I don't know if they're still there. Wanted some information for my purposes of what's gone on now that we have the four dispensaries already in Mesa. Asked a kind of a historical look so far for crime statistics. If you could just give us a brief overview.
Mr. Mayor and Council, my name is Lee White. I'm an assistant chief with our police department. I probably first need to speak just a little bit about the stats I'm about to give you so you make sure you understand kind of where I'm coming from. The numbers that I'm going to give you represent only the legitimate dispensaries that we have within our city. They don't include the crimes associated with the illegitimate facilities. And also, the stats only include the calls for service at the location, not officer-initiated activities, such as they make a traffic stop in the apartment or the parking lot where they stop a subject. From 2010 to date, we have a total of 36 calls for service for the dispensaries that we're aware of. The majority of those are alarm calls. We have a burglary, credit card fraud, suspicious activity, things of that nature. The majority of those are suspicious activities and alarm calls.
Okay. Any questions for the police department while he's up here? Okay. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Okay. For me, I guess I will... Ms. Spinner, before I speak, could you give us a little bit of an overview about the legal protest and what's going to be required?
Yes, Mayor and Council, under state law, if I believe it's 20% of the property owners within a certain area near the facility, if they protest the zoning case, it creates a supermajority requirement for the vote. In this case, a legal protest has been filed under state law, which requires a three-quarters vote to the council. So six votes are needed for the item to pass.
Okay, six votes. Well, I was going to offer my opinion as serving as council member in this area and been involved early on in that process. Realized that the area does have challenges. There's been an accurate overview of what's going on there. And been looking for any opportunity that we could to look at other zoning opportunities, other uses in that area, because it is accurate. There's a lot of vacant commercial space and retail space. And so I strongly believe in the process of getting some rezoning, looking for other options, giving those property owners the opportunity to have some expanded uses, because obviously what's going on there isn't working right now. And so I was quite concerned, and I've had a lot of feedback as I've gone out to visit at the site and visit with the different property owners and about, their public safety concerns. Is there going to be an increase in crime activity associated with this? And I'm after my research and my review of it, I don't see that as happening. I think there's also, as I've asked Mr. Gordon, that we have some options if for some chance we were to get a bad actor into a site, that we can petition through the state and trying to get some changes or close down a bad institution that might be adding crime to the area. And so I'm supportive of this process going through. For me personally, on medical marijuana, it isn't as much about if there's medical uses for individuals and folks that feel like they need that type of treatment, if any family member of mine that was going through cancer or any other illness needed that kind of medication, a holistic look at it, I would be quick to be there. So I'm supportive of going ahead with this process and this zoning change to get it done. But I was hoping to hold off. Is there any other opinions or information, Councilmember Summers, you've requested?
Thank you, Mayor. Up at this point, I've just been giving some questions, and I haven't given my opinion other than to the first vote. And the first vote wasn't related to this. It was related to the zoning. I have concerns about placing even light industrial zoning up against residential. However, I share the mayor's, I hate to use the word concern twice, but what the heck. I share his concern with what's happening in this commercial area. We need to do something holistically about this particular parcel, and I think it's worth doing some study. We've done a lot of charrettes, and we've done a lot of planning for other areas. Gateway is one area that we have done some planning on, but particularly I'm thinking around downtown Mesa and West Mesa when we did overlays for zoning that encouraged property owners based on the vision of the city that allowed them to opt into some different zoning with stipulations. I think that Main Street, this particular portion of Main Street, which is old and has a lot of vacancies and has problems with attracting the type of let's face it, suburban commercial strip mall occupants, those days are gone. We're never going to see those again in this location, not without real changes to zoning and some changes in mass transportation, urban planning, and potentially some changes some infill development and some higher density. So I think it would behoove us as council to take a look at this area as a whole and say, how can we make other uses, light industrial, heavier, high-density residential, various different uses, what works here up against these neighborhoods and what doesn't, rather than taking it piecemeal. And I think there are several other areas of the city that would benefit from that approach as well, like we have done in other portions of the city. I appreciate everybody trying to keep their comments to the fact of the case, which is that this is a zoning case. That wasn't a dictate. I can't do that. Dang it. Wish I could. That was more for myself as well, because I do agree in many respects with the mayor that if somebody has a significant debilitating disease, I don't care what you smoke. If it makes you feel better, we should be allowing that. My position on this has been clear. I was on television talking about it. Those days are done. The issue is legal. What we have before us is a zoning case. And so I still have concerns about taking this piecemeal, and that's where my concern lies. I also don't dismiss the church. It's a church. It needs a certificate of occupancy. And clearly from what's been said here today that they're going to be making an application for a certificate of occupancy. And so what potentially we're just setting up here after this vote, if this were to be approved, is a church running against a medicinal marijuana facility and see who crosses the finish line first. And I don't think that's really good governance. I want to find a solution to this. I stand by my comment that if we could move Traw or find another location, something that works possibly not so close to residential, that this could work in Mesa. In many ways, I would rather have this in Mesa than put it into the county. I know a gentleman made a comment very early on that he was concerned that the crime would happen and then would fall into the county. Well, the fact of the matter is by having that in the city of Mesa, it would be our police department, the city of Mesa's police department, that would be responding to those issues. And whether that crime spilled into a neighborhood in Mesa or spilled into a county island, it's going to be our officers investigating it. And quite frankly, they've done a splendid job of collaborating, cooperating with the sheriff's office. So I'm not too concerned about that. So it's too late to go short. So to end the very long soliloquy, I'm concerned about the zoning issue. I also give deference to the councilwoman for the district who has her concerns as well. And so for that reason, I'll vote against.
Okay. Has everybody had sufficient time to share their opinions? If there's none other, we'll look at a motion. Do we have a motion? We have a motion by Councilmember Kavanaugh, a second by Councilmember Glover. Any further comments on this? If not, let's go ahead and vote. Okay, it looks like we have four ayes with Councilmember Luna, Glover, Vice Mayor Glover, the Mayor, and Councilmember Kavanaugh voting for. The nays are Councilmember Benelli and Councilmember Summers and Richens. So if I understand the direction correctly, the motion fails.
That's correct, Mayor.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Any other further action on this matter then?
Ma'am? On this item, no. You still have 12D, but I believe that is in connection. That is assuming the rezoning passes and it places restrictions on the light industrial zoning. So I think staff would then recommend that we not go forward with the DA, if that would be council's agreement.
Yes, Councilmember Richens.
Does anybody who made the motion about the general plan amendment want to bring it back for reconsideration at this time?
Good question. Does anybody want to? I don't even remember who made the motion originally. Any reconsideration on 12B as far as the change on the. Anybody that voted a majority? Do we have some Councilmember Summers? What would you like to do? Now, you are in the opposition.
Not in the majority.
Right? Okay. I just saw the button push. So, anybody in the majority want to bring that back? No? So, where are we at now with that then?
Mayor, the change for the general plan will remain in effect, but the zoning will remain what it currently is.
Okay.
So essentially this then becomes a parcel or three parcels that are under the general plan suitable for light industrial use, even though we've just denied the light industrial zoning.
Mayor and Council, I'll jump in on that one a little bit. We have a lot of the mixed-use residential land use designation along Main Street. The area on the north side from about Lindsay over to Higley is mixed-use residential. On the south side from Val Vista over to Gilbert Road has this category, and it allows a variety of things from the commercial, residential, and industrial is one of the things it can allow. It doesn't mean it has to be approved. So the existing commercial zoning still works. Other commercial zones would work. Some residential zoning would work. It doesn't just make it appropriate for the industrial.
Okay. So it doesn't imbue the rights of light industrial. Just says that it is from a general plan perspective that it might be appropriate. All
right. Okay. Well, I couldn't be happier. So how do we not proceed then with item D?
Assuming the council is comfortable and it's the council's direction to remove that from the agenda today, we will not need a vote on 12D, and then you can move on to item 13, Mayor.
Okay. So what's the pleasure of the council? I'm presuming we're going to go ahead and pull it. Can support there? Looks like we have head nods, so we'll go ahead and remove this from the agenda. Item 13 is items from citizens present. Ms. Mickelson.
No request
to speak. We have a motion for adjournment and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.